Without that mystery sound, is it a Tibetan prayer wheel? Yes. Yes, it is. No, it's not. What else do we have here? We've got a little incoming communication from the guy with the sound that I swear to God I put over. Thank you.
Like you did by the lake on the boo.
About V for Vendetta. This is from Aaron Geek in the City. Pleased to be telling the lovely Lara that V for Vendetta is also playing at the Academy Theater, a fantastic new theater behind Mount Tabor. Great place. Pizza, beer, fantastic popcorn, and a crying room for annoying little bastards. There you go. That's good news. They'll get my business just for that. 503-733-2970. Lots of comments about the Connie. Oh, the Connie Chung thing, by the way. Let me just tell you this. When I took the Connie Chung thing, which we had yesterday, and I've got the, let's see, where did I put it here? Doesn't seem like that's the sort of thing I could actually lose.
Thanks for the memories. We came to do a show
now
for very little dough. By little, I mean I could make more working on Skid Row. That's cable TV.
I'm so sad for her and
thanks
you and me and all of
for
us.
For the memories. This half year flew by. My Maury, what a guy.
Does he hate his life? Here's what Maury wakes up every day and wants to just eat a shotgun out in the barn.
Dubai. How stunned were we all?
It's like listening to Brett Butler.
Maury would talk instead of listening, unaware of the concept of whispering. And when he did say the right thing, it was so rare.
We should know that this is not altered in any way. I have to stop that. This is Connie Chung and Maury Povich. We played this at the very end of yesterday's show, and I wanted to play it again today because we'll be playing it hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times in the future, and you know that's true. It's in the Pantheon right there with the Starbucks song now. But they had this. You watched it a couple times, right, Tim? It was called Maury and Connie, or Connie and Maury?
Yeah, it was on early Sunday. Well, I think the thought behind this was nobody will ever see it. They have...
Was this like their pay? Was this like contract fulfillment, do you think? Where like they were obligated to give her, it was like a pay or play development deal where they had to give her a show and they're like, oh, you get it. They put it on in the morning. No one will ever see it.
Exactly.
And so they did this farewell. Now, I have had all kinds of people asking me, if this is altered somehow like that Linda McCartney tape. Because if you work in radio, everybody, if you listen to radio, everybody's heard this tape of Linda McCartney from the Wings days from the 70s, where some sound guy who hated Linda McCartney took a secret channel recording where he mixed down everything but her. He turned off all of the music, the band, the keyboard. We played that. Mm. Have you ever heard it?
Oh,
no. God, it's terrible. It's Linda McCartney because she's a notoriously bad singer. Nice person, bad singer. You know, and the same thing, John Lennon was known to have unplugged Yoko Ono's keyboard when they would play at Madison Square Garden. He'd just go, hey, look over there, look, wham, unplug it. Well, some sound guy isolated a track of Linda McCartney singing back up to Hey Jude. We'll play it later on. But so he isolated it so you don't hear Paul, you don't hear the keyboard, you don't hear anything. You just hear Linda McCartney, and it's like a lot of, Hey Jude. So bad. It's awful. But that's exactly what this. Somebody asked me if that was the case here because if you watch this video from MSNBC, she is on top of a piano at which a piano player is sitting. But there's no sound. And I'm at pains to note, that is exactly what they put across the television when I'm playing you that. That is what came off the TV. It is not altered in any way. In no way.
So they went through the trouble of putting a piano on a set.
Yeah.
So
and paying a guy to sit there and do nothing. I don't know if it was mixed wrong at the set. I don't know if it was broadcast, if they screwed up the mixing over the board. I don't know what it is. Here's the end, by the way. This is really the knife in the eye.
Thank you so much.
I can actually hear my tympanic membrane shattering. Is that...
I think that's a troubled marriage, anyway.
I mean, it's that... people must just see Maury Povich in the street and just shake their sad bastard, you know? Just, you know, I may have prostate cancer, but at least I'm not married to Connie Chung. It's...
Thank you so
the worst thing I've ever heard. Now, I've actually taken a little short snippet of that just to see what it would sound like to have nothing but one note from Connie Chung, literally, just playing over and over and over and over again. I have not altered this in any way except to just edit it so it's a loop. Here's just one little note, so-called, from the end of the Connie Chung performance. Let's see how long it takes for your mind to snap. This could be our new EAS.
What are you doing? Stop.
Sorry. I can't turn it off.
This is one of those missing children alerts.
Come on.
All right. Sorry. Here's the thing. I actually thought about making that our next mystery sound. Because no one ever would have guessed that. Ever. 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 I will tell you this, though, before we take these calls. Who is this? Oh, it's Ed McCarthy. I will tell you, poor Ed is having to sit through this. I will tell you before we take these calls, from now on, whenever we are obliged to use our delay, we are obliged to dump something on the air, so when he uses inappropriate or blue language, it takes a while to build back up. That Connie Chung song is going to be, that's our punishment song from now on. So if you say something that necessitates us using the dump button, that's going to be how you get punished. So I urge you now to keep it clean, kids. 503-733-2.
Come on!
I'm gonna close this before I inadvertently. Alright, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from CNN Atlanta. Listen to how sweet that sounds now. It's like a cleansing of the palate. Ed McCarthy, how are you, sir?
I'm sticking my hand out to be punished here.
See,
hit by the ruler. I'm late today. I'm sorry about that.
Not at all, sir. I have no doubt that it was not your fault.
You are correct, sir.
Yes.
You need a caller and play that.
Now, let me ask you this. If I was to ask you whose fault this is, would the answer rhyme with Laura?
Yeah, it would.
Okay, just checking.
So, what do you think her deal is?
Is this sort of a known phenomenon? You can tell us. Inside CBS Radio, or CNN Radio, rather, that Laura does not sometimes convey the booking information in a timely manner?
That's not always, but, that could probably happen once in a while.
Would you say that this is because she's got a new man in her life, or is she kind of old school flaky?
Yeah, that could be, too. And tomorrow's her birthday, too.
All right.
But, so,
she's not approaching.
So was her birthday last week, too, and then the Tuesday before that?
Meow.
I'm just kidding. I love Laura. I talk to her every day.
Is she approaching some sort of traumatic birthday? You don't have to tell us the age, but, I mean, is she approaching some sort of birthday, perhaps just causing little psychic fissures?
I don't think it's a dramatic one. I'm really not sure.
Okay.
But
all right.
Maybe it'll be a birthday that'll urge her to call me and let me know. Hey, listen, I got a question for you. What was the deal with this Connie Chung thing? I kind of missed this.
When you figure out, let me know. Let's just plunge on into it here. The deal with the Connie Chung. I can't stop it.
Yes, you can.
I can't. Okay, there we go.
Come on.
Jesus. I really, the problem with that cue is there's no off button. You can start it, but you can't turn it off.
Did she snap?
I think we're all going to snap today. Here's what happened. This is completely true. I only found out that there was a Maury Povich and Connie Chung show when it got canceled. I didn't even know it was on the air, which apparently is... That's typically a problem confined to CNBC. But apparently on MSNBC, on what was it, Tim? Sunday mornings?
Yeah, Sunday morning around 8 o'clock, there'd be nobody watching anyway. nobody would hear this again. They never heard of YouTube.
Sunday mornings, there was a Connie Chung and Maury Povich show.
Not a very good show.
Which apparently was terrible and watched by no one.
They would sit there arguing, reading things off a teleprompter, and you could tell it wasn't spontaneous because they both look at the camera reading lines, arguing.
And so then MSNBC said, well, screw this, and they canceled it. And so their final program, that is the very last thing that they aired, and Maury Povich was just sitting in a corner with a hangdog look on his face as though he was wishing that he'd contract some sort of fatal tumor. And Connie Chung, I swear to you this is true, I can send you the video,
I saw the video. I just didn't know what it was about.
No, the video is Connie Chung in a white gown laying on top of a grand piano at which a piano player sits. Keep in mind, there is no piano in the song. He's just sitting there for some reason. She was laying on top of a piano, Fabulous Baker Boy style. And then at one point, I swear to you, she leans back and she begins writhing around, rolling around on the piano, singing this whole... I'm going to play just a little bit of the...
Thanks for the memories. We came to
the
show for very little dough. By little, I mean I could make more working on Skid Row. That's cable TV.
Oh, she was loaded.
Thanks
yeah.
for the memories. This half a year flew by. My Maury, what a guy. Instead of asking who's the daddy, he could talk Dubai.
Okay, now, it's
where is Maury Povich during this? Is he in the green room or...
loading a handgun. I don't apply to the whole thing because it's like 5 minutes long. But now listen to this. Listen to the ending here. This is the final 15 seconds of this song.
Thank you so much.
Connie Chung has gone bye-bye, Ed. She's...
Wow. Wow. It's just amazing.
It really is.
I mean, you didn't see Mike Wallace do that on his last show.
I saw the video. I had no idea what it was about. I tuned in late somewhere. They had it on and they were just amazed.
It's too bad Rather didn't go out that way. That's all I have to say.
Or Brokaw.
Seriously. I don't even remember what we were going to get you on about, but it doesn't really matter at this
point.
Situation
rates.
Yeah, nobody's graduating. Americans are dumb.
So we know that anyway.
Yeah. Hey, let me ask you this. Were you the guy talking about bird flu?
Yeah.
All right. Here's the thing. There's someone on the Rick Emerson program.
Who may have it,
who was just recently in New York, spending a lot of time on a plane, traveling from Boston to New York, trains, planes, automobiles, wandering around on a subway.
All kinds of subways, taxis.
And
bring a flock of chickens along with him?
Sarah thinks that she may have the avian flu. And so my question to you is, what are the symptoms? How would one know that when... She's coughing right now. What?
Every time you make me laugh, I cough.
When...
I don't think that's it.
How would one know that one has the avian flu?
Well, I don't think it's really traveling from person to person, actually, right now. I think you have to just really get in there and start killing chickens, killing a bunch of them in your backyard.
How is it? Okay, so it's not person to person. How... Do you have to take an
infected...
What if
you're around chicken killing? Like, I spent a lot of time...
you were in Chinatown.
I was in Chinatown quite a bit.
They kill chickens left and right there.
They do.
They are a chicken-killing people.
You're not growing any feathers, are you?
No.
So, this is a weird question, but really, honestly, how do you get it? I mean,
what are the symptoms?
It's kind of like it's like an influenza type thing with... apparently with headache and fever but it just gets so bad that it just knocks your whole system down.
Is this like one of the... Here's the problem with all of these diseases is they all have flu-like symptoms, all of them. Every disease, doesn't matter. Could be a sore throat, it could be Ebola. Doesn't matter. They all start with swelling of the glands and a sore throat plus a persistent nagging cough, all of which Sarah has, by the way. So... do you go to the doctor? Is there a test for avian flu?
No, that's the whole thing. They really wouldn't know what strain it was if it was bird flu right now. They say they wouldn't have for 6 months they wouldn't have a vaccine because they wouldn't know what strain it was. They'd have to find out what strain it was if it mutated and went from human to human.
So there's really no way to know. So for all we know, maybe it's a cold, maybe it's avian flu with Sarah.
I hope she's all right. I hope it's not strep throat. A lot of that going around.
I feel okay. I just have this really nagging cough that won't go away.
I mean, but it's like, really, to get the bird flu, do you really have to take, like, an infected bird and shove it into an open wound on your body?
Pretty much right now.
Okay. Well, try to avoid doing that, I guess. And
probably that bad air on the plane. Every time I fly, I always get sick. I know what it's like.
It's true. All right. We were going to talk about some other stuff, but you know what? We'll do it another day.
All right, Rick. We'll be around here.
You tell Laura Caviezel hi for me. Tell her it's been fun. Oh, thank, well. Wait, hold on. Let me just give you just a little something to remember us by.
Thank you. Oh. So
Remember us by that, Ed.
I sure will.
All right, we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Okay, Rick,
all right, there you go. See you on the radio correspondent, Ed McCarthy. All right. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Feel under-caffeinated today. All of these things sitting here. Ken Burns is coming here.
Yeah, an evening with Ken Burns.
What does an evening with Ken Burns consist of?
I have no idea.
Ken Burns appearing in person at the Arlene Schnitzer concert. Doing what?
Maybe he'll show slides with accordion music.
With jazz music in the background. All right. Okay. All of these calls. Let me just get some of these. Let's see here. Nels?
Yes, hello, Rick?
Kind of name is Nels.
N-E-L-S. It's a Scandahoonian.
More than one Nell.
Okay. What are you calling about, Nels?
I wanted to ask three short points, and the first point is...
You're a professional talk radio caller, aren't you? I know that because you said, Rick, thank you for taking my...
I listen, and I just don't call.
No, because here's the thing. Really? Because you sound, and I don't mean this as disparaging. I mean, you're very good at this. You sound like one of those guys who clearly has called a lot of talk radio shows because you had a ready joke made in response to my question about your name.
Then you
did the debate thing. You laid out what you were going to talk about. You said, Rick, I have three short points to make and then a question.
Point number one, I want to take a guess.
A guess as to what? At this point, I don't even know what you're guessing. A guess as to what Sarah has? A guess as to what Connie Chung is doing in this noise? What?
That's neither here nor there, but I'll try to take a guess at your sound.
Okay. Yes.
It sounds like that's a little snippet from Wheel of Fortune.
That's a really, 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 really good wrong guess.
Good but wrong?
It's a good meaning. It's something I'd never thought of, and it could conceivably be that.
Okay.
But of course it's, no, it's not that.
Okay. Number two, Connie Chung. Yeah, I saw her this morning on the Today Show. I turned the volume down because I heard what she did yesterday.
And, yeah.
Yes, I tell you. I don't know which is flatter. Her voice,
no,
her front side.
Yes, all right, thank you.
All
right, what is your final point, Nels?
Okay, here is your problem. Okay, I went to the FCC license. I checked your state. You need a bigger blowtorch.
I'm sorry?
A bigger blowtorch. You need 25,000 watts.
You get on that and let me know.
Well, tell the engineers to do that.
It's that easy. No, it's foolish me. I forgot that it was turned down in the back.
All right.
Okay.
Well,
we're okay.
Sisters together.
Thank you, Nels. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. It's 503-733. That's going to be our new Amber Alert sound right there. Just every time we need to get your attention, if you need to clear out a room... Doesn't matter. I'd say we have to break here, but Jim Roop's probably not going to be showing up at 1:30.
No, he will. It's usually only one person that...
Okay. What did she say about me and Lisa Goddard? This is Laura Caviezel, who's the booker at CNN.
Boy.
Exactly what did she say about me and CNN radio correspondent Woman About Town, Lisa Goddard?
She just said that she heard that you have a crush on her.
Did she say...
And kind of snickered.
Laura said that she heard... That I have a crush on Lisa Goddard.
Uh-huh.
Now, did Laura say where she heard this from?
No. But she made it sound like it was common knowledge. That everybody knew that wacky DJ.
Wacky, everybody knows that darn Rick in Portland. So I wonder if Roop told her. Do you suppose?
I think Lisa might have told her.
Maybe. That's interesting.
I think she's working both sides.
So you think that, because now you believe as of yesterday... Now, you have speculated that Lisa actually has a crush on me.
I'm kind of thinking that. I don't think it's a crush. I think she's intrigued by you.
If
she swings through Portland, Oregon at some point, she'd probably want to, go out for a cocktail or two and get to know the real you.
If she swings through Portland, Oregon. Ha! Ha! I just don't know what to do today. We have to break. We have to break. We have to break now. We're back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Live from Portland, we come back. Dan, Greg, Dennis Spitzenberger, probably Jim Roop. Who knows? I don't know. Top five. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. Okay. Oh, for the love of...
You've never taken this out.
No, I keep forgetting to. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Turn this off. Thank you. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Turn it off. You have to.
Yeah, don't. Rick.
Okay. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Do you ever have that one of those days where you... It's not so much control that we're holding on to with our fingernails here. It's just... I think all of us... maybe it's because it's the first day of summer. When you're in school, do you ever get that thing they called senioritis? You know, every teacher talked about that. You have senioritis. It's where you just... Everything is hilarious. Every joke is the best joke. It's all like you're all high or something. Every joke is the best joke you've ever heard. And at any moment, everything is just threatening to collapse into anarchy and chaos. This Connie Chung thing doesn't help, by the way. All right. We are here with Tim Riley, Sarah Dillon, and myself. Thank you for being there. Here's what's coming up. Dennis Spitzenberger is going to be here. We're going to talk about all of this stuff going on in Sarah's life, not only the bird flu, the emails coming in about your boyfriend.
Car.
Yeah, your car. Like this. Rick, this is from Kara. It's Rick, about Sarah and her men. So, the man of her choice can't afford a hotel and is touring in a van with three other men sleeping down by the river. Yet a well-dressed...
Five other men.
Yet a well-dressed, well-paid guy she said was attractive is given no consideration. By the way, have her tell Nate that Taco Del Mar is giving away free tacos today. It's from Kara. That's Kara who said that, by the way. Okay.
I was just thinking about the conversation we had today. I'm like, he's doing fine. Oh, no, wait, I found him a place to sleep tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Did I choose poorly?
It's a winning ticket. That's what that is. I'm no one to talk, of course. Nate's been employed more in the last year. Do you realize we've only been back 90 days?
No way.
Yeah.
I kept telling everyone three. Oh,
actually, it's like 96 as of today. I think
96
today,
days.
Yeah, it's like 96.
This is a 96 program.
Doesn't really. Doesn't
what
seem like we've been
95 about.
I don't know. Doesn't it seem like we've been back forever? No, it's literally 90 days. It was like last Tuesday. I think it was 90 days that we've been back.
God, it feels longer than that.
God, it's like a tedious, torturous eternity, doesn't it? Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Thank you.
I love
LA. Jesus God. Hi, Jim Roop. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Good afternoon.
Hey, you showed up. Did we have to call and nag you to show up, or did Laura tell you?
Laura told me.
Okay. Well, that's one. All right. Just check.
What are you accusing me of not showing up?
No. We're not accusing you of anything, are we, Sarah?
No. Nope.
In no way. So you have to forgive Sarah. She's got bird flu.
Oh, my.
having some problems.
There's some issues. This whole program is just being held together with baling wire and gum today.
Done it for 96 days.
It's true. There were some issues with some of your colleagues, not with your colleagues. There were some issues with information and booking spots not being passed along.
Well, and sometimes, things get lost.
It's true. Thank you. You're a very tolerant and understanding man, Jim. Hey, does Lisa Goddard ever talk to you about me?
No. She's never brought you up. I don't talk to her that often.
Oh. She's on the other coast.
Okay.
It's a one-line email.
All right.
Okay. And it never happened to mention that Rick Emerson has a huge crush on
one, him? Did one of the lines ever mention that I am madly in love with Rick Emerson?
No. She's never said that. Oh. Although I can feel it when she talks to me.
Oh, well, see, there you go. That's
talking to you, not to me.
Oh, okay. Well, let's move on. Hey, did you hear the Connie Chung thing?
Yes, I did.
Isn't that fantastic?
it's something you're going to keep forever.
Oh, well, no, we're going to play that forever, and I might play it every single day.
Oh, yeah.
For the rest of my life. I mean, just that final 15 seconds. Let's listen to them now.
Thank you.
It doesn't sound that sincere.
So much.
Yes.
Jeez. Can anybody be that tone deaf?
No. And really, to illuminate this point, I've actually extracted out about a second and a half of this, and I've just elongated it through looping. Here's what a little bit of that one note sounds like. I mean,
that sounds like the guy calling a goal in one of these World Cup.
Seriously. Oh, my God. All right. You have to forgive us. It's just been one of those days.
Well, you've just chased every cockroach in Portland into Seattle.
That's like that thing you always read about some story where they're playing some sort of hideous noise in a 7-Eleven parking lot to get rid of the riffraff late at night.
That's what you're going to play.
That's what they got to use. I want to make that my new cell phone ring. Anybody calls me, just goes on. That's the thing. You won't miss that. That's a cell phone ring that you will notice.
And you could disperse gangs with that.
Seriously. We got to give that to our troops down at Guantanamo. I think we've got a new technique to break Al-Qaeda. Well, just put some huge gunships with giant speakers just slowly rotating over Afghanistan all day. Man, that place will be empty of humanity within an hour. God, Connie Chung, our new secret weapon. Okay. Hey, speaking of these drugs, is it true? Am I reading this wrong? That they've got some sort of... Are there going to be robotic plane things flying over California?
Well, sort of. It's these unmanned aerial vehicles.
Right.
They're like the drones that they use in the military.
Yes.
They're real small. They're about 4 pounds. It takes maybe 5 minutes to put together. And they have little seeing eyes on them, little infrared cameras for night and regular cameras. And cops can throw these things in the air, and they will soar at about 250 feet at 30 miles an hour, and you can survey an active crime scene, urban search and rescue. You can't pursue a fleeing suspect.
Right.
But it's very cool. It's really neat to watch them use this thing. The problem is that the FAA has gotten involved and it's limiting their airspace. You gotta be kidding me. This thing, you know, it's the size of a model airplane, and the FAA is telling them, you can't fly here, you can't launch it there. It's just a mess. These poor cops are going, we just got this great tool, we can't use it.
Too bad they can't hook it up with like a death ray. and wipe out entire troubled neighborhoods. Nobody would know.
Or a speaker and broadcast that Connie Chung thing. Yeah.
That's fantastic. I love the idea that in Tim's head, everything needs to be equipped with a death ray. That's the first. Not to rescue children, not to spot people who are in burning buildings, not to perhaps map out new and exciting areas of the planet that we can't get to with conventional airplane. No, in Tim Riley's head, it's all about some horrible doomsday device with which he can wipe out sections of Oakland.
Well, you need to have a little order in society.
You gotta have an enforcer of some kind, right, Tim?
Absolutely. Oh, seriously.
And why waste gas at $3 an hour? How much can this model plane cost?
Oh, all right. Well, so there you go. Oh, and what is this West Hollywood marijuana thing going to happen, do you think, where they're going to tell the cops to back off and just let people get high?
Well, the sheriff is saying no. The sheriff's saying, you know, this is not going to be Amsterdam West. You know, they're still going to enforce the marijuana laws. The problem is it works in places like San Francisco because they have their own police department, but West Hollywood doesn't have its own police department. It contracts with the sheriff's department, and the sheriff's department says, you know, West Hollywood, North Hollywood, Los Angeles, if wherever we're patrolling, we're going to, you know, we're not going to allow people just to sit up in their, in fact, the sheriff said he's not going to allow people to sit in their houses, open their windows, blow pot smoke out of the windows and laugh at the cops as they go.
how would the sheriff of West Hollywood would be dressed?
Is he
very well?
Really? Is it really just like being
all the village people out here in squad cars
totally
with feather boas wrapped around their necks?
He's got Felipe Rose dressed as the Indian in a sidecar just coming to bust you. They really should. That's a great way to increase tourism. The West Hollywood cops really should be dressed as the village people. Just get pulled over and beaten by the construction worker for speeding.
RuPaul's one of the deputies.
The problem is it would work. People would totally accept it, and it would work. That's the funniest thing about it.
You can pass that along. We will let you have that. You can pretend that's your own idea.
Oh, you're way too kind.
Oh, my God. All right. Sarah, was there anything else I was going to mention? Talk about? Anything else I was going to...
The governor just flew over the border.
What?
The governor.
Okay.
The governor just...
One of those drones. was his plane equipped with a death ray?
He had one under each arm.
Okay. We have to go now, Jim.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Sure.
Goodbye.
That's Jim Roop from CNN. Okay. Bye.
Maybe we should take over Connie Chung's time spot on.
How hard can it really be? Oh, my God. They're trained salamanders that can take over Connie Chung's new show. Oh. Sarah just looks sad.
I shouldn't have eaten all those cookies.
That's the worst thing for the bird flu.
Rick, about that Connie Chung sound, you should make that 15-second snippet of Connie Chung saying that you should make that the sounder for George from Wilsonville. This will guarantee that we will hear it 3 times a day and that we are pre-annoyed when he calls. Oh, my God. How about this? Rick, I've been listening to the show for 1.5 hours today. I have no idea what's going on. Nothing today has made any sense. It's like listening to half a phone conversation in Esperanto with Connie Chung caterwauling woozily in the background. Just so you know. How about this one? Rick, is your brain falling asleep? Is your brain falling asleep every 1.5 minutes? It's hilarious and I'm laughing out loud but concerned for you at the same time. Also, that Connie Chung clip should come with an epileptic warning, just to be safe. All right.
Well, tonight on TLC, my skin could kill me. 2 girls are born with a rare skin disorder.
My skin could kill me.
It's an hour-long program.
What's it called again?
My skin could kill me.
And what did your dad do for the rest of his life? Your grandfather, your dad?
I don't remember. It's on right after Today You Die.
Okay.
What channel is that on?
With Sarah Dillard's story.
Today You Die is on Spike. My Skin Could Kill Me is on TLC.
That doesn't make any sense. It just sounds like gibberish. My Skin Could Kill Me is on TLC. Mm-hmm. Yellow matted custard dripping from a dead dog's eye. All right. Okay. There you go. That's Sarah Dillon, who's the producer of the show, Tim Riley, who is the Eggman. It's 503-7. I'm just going to take this CNN thing.
Email. What if it gets back to Laura that we were talking smack about her?
We're not talking smack. We scheduled Ed McCarthy. She failed to book Ed McCarthy. What's she going to punish us with? Not booking the guys that we request?
Well, sometimes she gives us the inside scoop as to what they're talking about.
I suppose. I'm not dogging on Laura. Laura's a very nice person. But she does seem... Well, apparently everything gets back to everybody else, though. Apparently, maybe I can have... Maybe, what, is she not going to pass Lisa Goddard a note in study hall from me?
No, I'm trying to think if I ever told Laura that when I'm talking to her in the morning, and I don't think I have.
Dear Lisa, do you like... Circle yes or no, please. Hand back in 6th period. All right.
Would you like me to call CNN and schedule Lisa?
No, I don't. All right.
They're about to close anyway.
CNN.
It's almost 5 o'clock.
All right. Sarah, I know that you're dying of avian flu and all, but you have to make some decisions here.
I ate, like, so many cookies.
That's you offered them, and I knew well enough to pass. Here's what you've got to... Is caller threatening to drive off the road if I keep playing the Connie sound? All right. Good. Excellent.
Please don't.
It's like having the power of God in my hand. It's like having the power of life and death. I will create an army of atomic supermen. Okay, Sarah. Here's what we've got. I've got a whole bank of calls here.
They have been waiting forever.
Sound.
Are any of them right?
I don't know. Find out. I've got the city desk. We've got to get Dennis Pitzenbarger in here, and we've got to talk about your friend Lisa before she goes ruining a good thing. You know what I'm talking about.
Why don't we talk about Lisa really quick?
All right.
Or do you want to talk about her with Dennis?
Let me get these calls, and then we'll talk about that, and we'll bring in Dennis. Dan the man, what's up?
Well, I'd like to take a guess at your sound.
Okay.
How about...
If you're wrong, I'm going to play the Connie Chung sounder.
Oh, I'll give you a better reason to play it than that.
All right. Why don't you not? All right. What is your guess? What is your guess, sir, about the mystery sound?
It's rewinding a camera.
No.
Thank you.
All right. What is that it?
Well. Yeah, I better leave it at that.
Yeah, you got nothing. All right, thank you, Dan. I know you held for a while, but thank you.
I used to play music with Hog Whitman.
Really? Where is Hog? Is he even alive?
I don't know.
Okay. Maybe he's dead, too. All right, thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. Thank you. Greg, hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Is this about the mystery scent?
Yes, it is. I have a beautiful Sarah.
Thank you. My finger is over the Connie Chung button. Yes.
Oh, God, the pressure.
Yep.
I want that sound for my truck alarm so much.
You really?
You break into it.
Really? Doesn't it sound like if somebody tried to break into your car and just...
Oh, that would drive him
away. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. All right, my finger is over the button. Pleased to be guessing the mystery sound now.
It's a herpes uvula.
Thank you.
No, you're wrong. I'm sorry.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Am I sure that it's not a harpy's uvula? Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I am. Thank you, Greg.
Dang.
All right, goodbye now. Okay. Thank you. Good day to you now. All right. John, you are on the Rick Emerson Show. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine. My finger is over the Connie Chung button. Are you going to guess the mystery sound?
I am. It's the prize wheel from the 666 party after Horns Across the Hawthorne.
Thank you.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's wrong. Very wrong, but thank you for guessing, John.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, there. He's all dejected. We're going to do one more. That's it. We're going to do one more, and then there are no more mystery sound calls for today. This is it. We're going to do one more, and that's it.
That's final.
That's.
You should play the mystery sound one more time, since
all
this
right.
is it.
All right. Hold on. All right, there you go. That's it. It's the final call. Oh, wait, is this line three? Scotty, is that who I should be taking here? Is that even about the mystery sound? No, it's not, is it? No, line three is not about the mystery sound. Yeah.
Hmm.
Okay, then we're done. They're done. Scotty, we are not going to take any more. We're done. We are taking no more mystery sound calls today. Please do not call about the mystery sound. Thank you. Sweet holy Jesus. All right, it's 503-733.
You are right, by the way. Everyone is crazy today. I'm getting weirdest emails and phone calls.
It's not just us. I mean, you heard Roop. Roop was going crazy. Laura, God love her, Laura forgot to book Ed McCarthy. Tim is talking about wanting a death ray to wipe out whole sections of California. Dennis Pitzenbarger, I just saw him here.
Did you see Dennis? Like 12:30.
We said to be here at 2. He's here at 1:20. He hasn't shaved, and he's wearing like a T-shirt. He's all looking all like, he kind of looks like an unemployed... He kind of looks like an unemployed Fred Flintstone. So everybody has gone nutty. Everybody has gone crazy.
All right, well, speaking of going crazy, let's address the Lisa.
Speaking of going crazy. All right, so we didn't get a chance to talk about this yesterday, and I'm putting it together in my head. Sarah brought this to my attention yesterday, and I didn't really have time to talk about it because it's one of those things that I knew would just consume huge chunks of the show. But we got a show here called The Rick Emerson Show. The Rick Emerson Show has a producer named Sarah Dillon. Sarah Dillon has a friend. We can use her real name?
Yeah.
Friend named Lisa. Now, many of you know Lisa because, well, if you've seen Sarah, you know, Lisa and Sarah kind of go out sometimes. There's a lot of time. If you're in Sabalas or whatever, there's a good chance that Lisa's right there with you. We've had Lisa on the show before about a year and a half, 2 years ago. Lisa was on the show, and you guys, what was it? It was like a list of things that you wouldn't accept in a guy, deal breakers with a guy.
Yes.
Was it something like that?
Yes, it was.
It was Lisa,
like the kind of guys that we would not date.
Yeah, so Lisa was on the show, and so Lisa and Sarah were talking about things that that were turnoffs, like a thing that a guy could do within the first 30 seconds. They were like, no, I would never, you know, go out with that guy. And I kind of said that she sort of looks like, what's her name from The Nightmare Before Christmas? What is that, the Lisa Marie character? You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Jack's girlfriend? Whatever. But she's tall and kind of punky and kind of goth and, just, you know, hot and whatever. Very tall, great body, great face, cute as hell, all of that. Regrettably, some sort of boyfriend or whatever. But, you know, what are you going to do? None of it's perfect. So I walk in yesterday, and you were just, this is another one where you were just finishing the conversation. We were talking about hearing the last half of a conversation. And so I walk into the studio yesterday. Sarah is on the phone. It was with Lisa, right?
Yeah, I talked to Lisa.
Sarah is on the phone with her friend Lisa, and this is what I hear Sarah saying as I walk into the studio yesterday. Sarah's saying, you cannot do that. I forbid you. Lisa, that is a mistake. Oh, honey, don't. You have to not do that. And, of course, at that moment, you simultaneously want to know all about it, but then you also realize, yeah, I should probably leave the room. I don't know what this is all about. So, do you want to go ahead and say what it's all about?
Lisa, well, okay, I respect people's right to creativity.
I don't. Not in this.
I do, but
not in this case.
But sometimes, you know, people use it as decoration. Lisa wants to get a tattoo on a place that needs no decoration.
And we're not talking about the downstairs area.
No,
we're talking
Lisa's
about the upstairs
got
area.
Full, ample, like, pretty breasts. They're huge.
Lisa,
huge breasts.
There.
She's right.
Hold there.
I'm huge.
All right, there you go.
That was just
no, Lisa is a very well-endowed girl. Lisa is a very shapely woman. And by shapely, by the way, I don't mean fat. I mean she is literally,
she's
got a very, very thin but very well-proportioned. I'm not trying to be lecherous or disgusting about it. I'm not in any way trying to be perverse. I'm saying Lisa has been given a very fine figure by the architect. Clearly assembled by somebody who was very close to the hand of God. And so, all I'm saying is, and she's already got a few tattoos, right?
Yeah,
she's got like on her arm.
She has a half sleeve on her arm that, like, I think she's gonna make a full, and then she has
like all of your
on her back and on her legs.
And all of your friends are like this. Your friends are all tattooed. Like that,
yeah.
Amanda girl?
Yeah, Amanda has a half
Amanda's
sleeve
hot too. And she looks like she's wearing a shirt even when she's not.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I've seen her with that, but I mean when she wears a tank top.
You can, yeah,
I'm not,
she has a big one on her back.
Whatever. And I'm not much into tattoos on chicks, but you know, whatever. But it's like but Lisa wants to get the battleship right across the chest. Not a battleship, but
yeah,
a whatever.
She wants to get something done right in the front.
Which you can't.
I guess it's not. She was trying
wrong.
To correct me. It's not centered. I guess it's above.
Doesn't matter. It's going,
like,
to be visible.
Right there.
It's going to be visible. It's going to be visible in her chest area. It's a mistake.
That's what I'm saying, too. You know, and the sisters aren't going to be up there forever.
No.
I mean,
pretty soon it's like having tattooed ankles.
I know. Like in 20, 30 years, those things are going to be, you know.
And it's one thing. Look, and it's one thing if you have no chest to speak of as a woman, and you got to do something to get, you know, you can either wear something bright and shiny there to try to catch the eyes of men, or you can, you know, if God gives you a flat canvas, you paint on a flat canvas. That's fine. This isn't like painting on a flat canvas. This is like defacing a Picasso is what this is. This is like going in and seeing something hanging in the Louvre and deciding that it doesn't look pretty enough, and so it'd be great if you just take some spray paint to it. That's what we're talking about. We're really talking about the disfiguring of what should be a national monument, I believe.
Oh.
I'm just saying, in
what
general...
wasn't creepy?
No, not... I'm sorry. I'm not talking about her specifically. I mean, we are here, but I'm saying in general, because we've all... Look, because Laura has a friend who did this. Laura's friend...
Some women can pull off the chest pieces,
no,
though.
No, it's bad. It never looks good, ever.
Ani DeFranco.
Ever. Yeah, but she's crazy, though. She's crazy to begin with. Ani DeFranco's nutty. And Lisa's not that nutty. I mean, you know what I mean? No, I mean, she's not like... You'd never confuse her with a nun, but I mean, Ani DeFranco can get away with a lot of stuff. Ani DeFranco's a musician, and she can get away with that because her whole persona is that she's crazy and spastic or whatever. And, you know, Lisa's kind of one of the edgy kid, but she's not flat-out nuts.
Mm-hmm.
All I'm saying is, this is that Laura has a friend who I probably shouldn't name. Well, whatever. Her name's Isabel. And, she's a beautiful girl, very nice, very sweet, whatever. And again, Isabel is from Spain, where in Spain, man, there's something in the water there. They grow women a little differently in Europe. I don't know what it is, man. I've met a handful of women from Spain in my life, and they're all beautiful. It's like they got one mold, and they all just come out of this, like, hot Barbie mold. It's kind of weird. Isabel is gorgeous. Gorgeous body. You know, and all of the curves in the right place. But then what does she do? She gets this huge, it's like a big abstract winged butterfly right in the middle of her chest. And it's like, every time you, see her, you think she spilled something on herself. You know, hey, look, and I'll admit this, I'm not trying to be creepy, but I'm a man. If you are, and she wears very low-cut dresses, she wears things that flatter her figure and that are kind of low-cut. When you're a guy, that's where your eyes go. I think most guys, anyway, you meet a woman who is, you know, she's got a nice figure, she's wearing something low-cut. I know this all sounds creepy, but what are you going to do? That's me. You meet a woman, you look at her chest. That's just what you do. And it's so weird. You look, and you have to look like 2, 3, 4 times, because you're like, what? Is there something with it? And you want to like, brush it off. And maybe there are guys who are into that. I've never met one. I have never in my life met a guy who thought that a woman would be enhanced by taking and putting a tattoo on her chest. I have never met a guy that said, you know, you're kind of cute and you got a great body. You know what would make your body look even better is if we disfigured it with something right in the middle of it.
Well, Lisa does have a lot of tattoos. I mean,
tattoos,
but they
on
aren't
your arm.
On the front. I know, yeah, because they're on. She has a couple on her legs, but they all just, they aren't.
Those are the
so out there, you know.
Tattoos on your arm are not the same somehow. A tattoo on your arm, it's not that we don't see it, but I don't know. It's different in some way. It's like you almost kind of don't notice that. It's almost like it doesn't register.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe because as a culture we see tattoos on arms so often that it doesn't really look out of place. It doesn't look. And plus, I mean, let's be honest here. We have to break and we have to come back. Well, let's come back. We'll have Tim, Dennis Pittenberg will be here. We'll talk more about this because has she picked out a design or something? Is she, how close is she to doing this?
She's looking for an artist right now.
No.
So she's kind of close.
No. It's a mistake.
Yeah. This is a lot of talk about Lisa Goddard.
No, this we should know by
the way.
Not talking
in publicity pictures.
We're not talking about Lisa Goddard, by the way.
Okay.
Let's. Oh, that was awkward. We'll be back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Oh, good heavens! No. AM 970 Solid State Radio. Good heavens.
There goes the last DJ. What he wants to.